Luke chapter 9, we're going to be there again tonight. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9 for this week and next week, unless Pastor Ben comes back. If he comes back, he's going to take us in a different direction. That's okay. We'll get the last two of this series months down the road when I get to fill in again, probably. But four-part message series out of Luke chapter 9. Started developing this on Monday when Ben told me that he was probably going to be gone this week. And Tony is not feeling good right now. I texted him right after Sunday school, and he said that he thinks him and Dad are going to go get COVID tested in the morning. I mean, that's the way that a lot of people end up catching it, is from people that they live with. I mean, you're in close contact constantly, and so we'll see how that plays out. If they come back positive, then I'll probably be able to finish this series this coming Sunday. If not, we'll put it off for a while. If somebody would like, I mean, we're kind of small in number tonight. If you can get your Bibles out and open them to Luke chapter 9, I'm going to ask somebody to read the first 10 verses. We covered that this morning, looking at the idea of the four ministries of Jesus. And the first one we looked at this morning was sending. Tonight we're going to look at the idea of feeding. My professor in college, Dr. Dale Allen, he's passed away now, at one point was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. But you'd never know it if you spent time around Dr. Allen. Just down-to-earth guy. And one of my favorite, still my favorite mentors in my life. And Dr. Allen, as a young preacher boy, was teaching us the art of communication and sermon development. And he said, gentlemen, if you get done preaching and the people that were listening to you can't go back to the text and find what you were talking about, you didn't preach, you just gave a pep talk. And so that has always been in the front of my mind as I prepare messages. It was a technique that he had developed in expository preaching. But I personally, the most impactful messages that I've ever had, one of them came from Aaron Maxwell at church camp, and the title of the message was, "It's Never Right to Do Wrong to Do Right." But when you went to the text that he preached, that's what was there. It communicated that principle. It's never right to do wrong to do right. I come across that passage often, and when I do, I always remember back to when he preached that message at church camp. And so this morning we looked at the idea from this passage, Luke chapter 9. There are four ministries in Luke chapter 9. The first one is sending, and we looked through those points this morning. I hope as we read the scripture, you could remember some of the things we talked about today. But really, they just come right out of Luke chapter 9. I mean, it really preaches itself when you dig down and start working on what it actually says. When you read the scriptures, you have three questions to answer. What does the passage actually say? What is it communicating? And what does it mean to me? You can take any passage of the scripture and develop a lesson if those are the three questions you ask. What does the passage actually say? What is it communicating? And what difference does that make to me? How do I apply it? So tonight we're going to look at this idea of feeding. This passage, good grief, I don't know other than maybe the crucifixion that you can find a more familiar passage from the New Testament than the feeding of the 5,000. And so we're not going to try and reinvent the wheel tonight, but what I would like to do is kind of refocus this miracle under the heading of the four ministries of Jesus. There was a lot of times that Jesus would send the disciples out. We covered that this morning by two, and there were certainly many times that he fed, all right? We got the feeding of the 5,000. We got the feeding of the 4,000. I think this was a regular occurrence. It was part of the working of Jesus' ministry. And most of the time when we talk about the miracle, we really just talk about what he did during the miracle. But this is a part of Jesus' ongoing ministry to the crowds was feeding. And it gets covered again in Luke chapter 9. And so tonight we're going to look at it. The four ministries of Jesus, this is the second one, the feeding. Okay, let's look in the scripture back at verse 11. In verse 11 says, when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. Remember, he had withdrawn with his disciples to Bethsaida. And when they found out where he was going, that he was going to retreat in this place, they followed him. The Bible says here in verse 11 that Jesus received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. The order of this is very important, all right? It's recorded in several of the Gospels. But the order needs to, you need to be careful that you don't just skip over this. The Bible says that they followed him, he received them, he spoke to them about the kingdom, and then healed those who had need of healing, and then the feeding took place. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the stop at Sullivan, but I pull up on that overpass a lot going to Lowe's and Sullivan, and there's usually somebody standing there holding a sign saying, I need something, I'm a vet, God bless. You know, they're there begging, and they're holding a sign. And the order of helping someone in the scriptures is not always this order, where you actually have an opportunity to speak to them. Sometimes you just help them, all right? So this isn't a concrete pattern here where we never give out help unless we go through the process of getting a chance to speak to them. But it is an interesting order that Jesus provides, really, as we go on through this message time. The task of meeting needs happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. That's point number one. The task of meeting needs happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. Sometimes it's really easy to help someone else that's in need. I mean, you got the time to do it. You've got the resources in your pocket. You might be on your way home, see somebody broke down, and think, you know what, I've got time. And then other times, it's just really not all that convenient to help someone. You really don't want to. You're almost at war. Dr. Hooks, in his last book, talked about this process with this house that God was working on him to stop, and just he didn't even know why, you know, and it wasn't convenient for him to stop, and he was at war with this in himself. You know, sometimes it's just not convenient to help other people. Sometimes we think we don't have the resources to meet the need, but a lot of times it's just selfish. There's a few, let's just go through this really quickly, just some points, and we're going to move on. The crowd followed. Jesus had compassion and received them. The scripture says that Jesus spoke to them. And then he healed them, and then we get into this miracle where he actually fed those that were there that had waited. The disciples didn't share equally. Listen, the disciples didn't share equally the compassion and burden for the multitudes. Remember this morning we kind of talked about how discipleship is a process. Maturity spiritually is a process, and the disciples just simply aren't where Jesus is right now with their compassion and burden for the multitude, and we're going to see that in just a moment when they talk about just sending them away. They really didn't share equally the burden that Jesus had just simply for the multitudes, and sometimes we'll get around people like that that have different burdens. You know, I'm always around a lot of different people throughout the week, and this week I got around Doug Thurman. Anybody that knows Doug Thurman, he knows he's a big football guy. He's burdened about it. I got into the press booth before the game, and he's literally pacing back and forth in the press booth before the game Friday night, the district championship. He wasn't going to play in it. He was just nervous for the boys because he has a big burden for sports in our area. I don't share that other than just announcing the game. But getting around people that have different burdens than you will increase your willingness to show compassion to the people that you normally don't do. When you get around somebody that's burdened differently than you, a lot of times you'll pick up on things that they're doing and want to join in with them. So let me give you a finer point, and we're going to move on. If we're going to continue growing spiritually, we have to put ourselves around people that are burdened differently than us. Adding to what I said this morning about kind of this spiritual rut of not being sent, sometimes we don't meet needs simply because the people that we're around are burdened the same way we are. If we'll just simply broaden who we hang around with and those people are burdened differently than we are, suddenly we'll take on some other interests. Dr. Allen one time pulled up on Olive down in St. Louis at 270, and there was somebody holding a sign there. And Dr. Allen rolled his window down, and instead of handing the guy money out, he invited him to get in the car with us. I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing, bro? I mean, we don't know this guy. We took a right on Olive and went down about four or five blocks past the fire department that's on the right. There was a restaurant. I don't remember which one. And we took this guy to the restaurant, and Dr. Allen paid for his meal, and we sat down and ate together. Now listen, I would have never done, I still to this day I've never done that. I went to Walmart, bought a chicken dinner, brought it back to the guy that's standing there at Union at the stop sign. I've given money to somebody that stood out at the overpass in Sullivan. I still to this day never, you know, just get in the car with me, I'll take you, we'll go get something to eat. But Dr. Allen had the spiritual gift of evangelism, and just simply because I was around Dr. Allen, he had the burden for the community, the multitudes. It rubbed off on me. Still to this day, I think, almost every time I stop and hand somebody something, I think about that day with Dr. Allen. I don't know that I would have helped strangers without the influence that Dr. Allen gave me in my life in that one moment. And it happened tons of times while I was in college. If we're going to continue growing spiritually, we have to put ourselves around other Christians that are burdened differently than we are. Let's refocus back to the disciples just for a moment. Remember, they all came. They had been sent out. They came back. They told their glory stories to the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus took the disciples away and retreated, and then the crowds followed them. Jesus had compassion, and the disciples are getting ready to say, you know what, Jesus, just get rid of them. Send them away so they can find lodging and food. They didn't share the same burden as Jesus, but they're getting ready to get into that process of having a burden for the multitudes because they're around someone that does. Number two, we see the scarcity of food. So the first one was the task of meeting needs happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. This is one of the times that meeting the people's needs was not convenient. They had retreated. They were trying to get away, and the crowd followed them. Now we get this scarcity of food, and this is part of the familiar part of this passage. Verse 13 says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. So verse 12 at the end of it said, the day began to wear away. The 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. For we are in a deserted place here. And verse 13 says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all of these people, for there were about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. This story is told in several of the Gospels, and we find out from another one, this little boy is the one that actually brought the lunch, and somebody packed the lunch. We're not going to get into that part of the story because we know it's familiar to us. But there was a scarcity of food here. Apparently, the crowd had literally just walked out of town with little resources, had gotten to the point where Jesus was, and it droned on, apparently, for quite some time, the process of teaching them, healing them, and now it's getting close to dark, and they're all hungry, and there isn't much food around. There are a few things inside of this that I want us to mention real quick. The first thing is that Jesus forced them to think differently, okay? That comes in verse 11. Look what he says, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. Immediately he challenged what they had already started to think, that man, the only option that we've got right now, Jesus, is if we just send them away. They need to go get something to eat, maybe find lodging, do it on their own. The first thing that we see here is Jesus forcing them to think differently. You take care of the need. And a lot of times, needs do not get met around us simply because we're unwilling to think differently. This is the only option that we've got. We get kind of forced into our way of thinking. The only way I can help this person on the overpass is if I give them money. Sometimes it's a kind word or something else. Sometimes it's an opportunity. Put them in the car and take them somewhere. You just never know sometimes if your process of thinking is already developed. You may not meet the need simply because you're not thinking differently. So he forced them to think differently. Then he forced them to take an evaluation of the available resources. Notice what he said here in the next verse. He says, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think this was a little inadvertent as far as Luke's account, but it's worth noting. So he made them think differently. You take care of the need. And then that actually forced them to take an evaluation of the available resources. Then he forced them to recognize the impossible situation. Notice what he said in verse 14. The disciples said, look, there were about 5,000 men. So he forced them to think differently. You take care of the need yourself. Then he forced them to take an evaluation of what is actually there. This is all part of the process to get them to the point for them to realize this situation is completely impossible. There's no way that we have the resources here, and we can't think of any other way to take care of this need except let's get rid of them and they can take care of themselves. He was putting them in a position to think differently, but also He wanted them to understand that the situation was impossible the way that they were thinking. In the crisis of life, when your resources are low and your responsibilities are great, it is good to remind ourselves that God already has the problem solved. Okay, so he put them in a position to think differently, evaluate their resources, and then realize, put them in a position to realize that the situation was impossible, knowing full good and well that he already had the problem solved. When we're in the most difficult seasons of life, this is an act of spiritual maturity that we've got to put in. It's a practice in life. We have to remind ourselves, no matter the situation, he's already got the problem solved. He may put us into a situation that he wants us to think differently or think outside of the box or realize that the situation is impossible. That's all part of the process to arrive at this conclusion that he's already got the problem solved. But he works us through these difficult seasons of life to get us to the point that when it does get answered, the only person that can get the credit is God. So we have the task of meeting needs. Happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. Then we see this scarcity of resources, this food, which forces them to the point of understanding that the problem cannot be solved unless God intervenes. Number three, the task of meeting needs has to be organized. The task of meeting needs has to be organized. Verse 14, for there were about 5,000 men, and then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50, and they did so and made them all sit down. This is just two little verses. We're going to run through a couple points here and move into our last. The task of meeting needs has to be organized. Jesus organized the work by delegation. We hear this a lot in the organization structure, the gurus for leadership. You have to delegate, all right? This is a principle that we see here also in Jesus. There's a huge group of people. He uses the 12. He delegates them, has them set down. But listen, he organized the work in a manageable amount, all right? These groups of people that were setting down were groups that were large enough that could be taken care of. And so the organization took place by delegation. It took place in manageable amounts. But this is the important part of the organization. Listen. He organized the work to maximize the disciples' potential. He didn't over-organize it where he had to enlist more help. He organized it in a way that required the disciples to help, but didn't over-organize the situation. He wanted to use the full potential of those 12 in the way that he set down the crowd. He could have set them down in really small groups or bigger groups. He chose a manageable group for the disciples so that those 12 could carry out the work. We can overmanage helping people, okay? This is an important principle that we see here where he organized the work to maximize the help that he had. Understanding, listen to me, understanding one's part in the kingdom of God, understanding one's job in the kingdom, taking on that job, that responsibility, that kingdom job description, so to speak. This is my part in the kingdom work. And being satisfied with that leads to spiritual maturity. Listen, we can over-organize in our own lives where we're in a situation where we're already serving in the kingdom, but that over there looks really nice and I want to get involved in it. It may not be your job. Being satisfied with the work that God has given you is the part of the process of spiritual maturity. And the disciples could have easily tried to over-organize this situation. Instead, they just listened to the instruction. They were satisfied with what Jesus was telling them, and they went out and did what he asked them to do. They didn't overthink it. They didn't give their opinion. There's nothing found in the scripture where there was any arguments. They just simply did what Christ asked them to do. If we're not careful, meeting needs turns into this huge ordeal when if we'll just simply get to work with what we can do, God will bless that, something manageable. So the task of meeting needs has to be organized. I spoke this morning really quickly about a line out of a book that I've read recently that was, if we just lock the doors on the church tomorrow, would our community even know that we had closed up shop? This goes to meeting practical needs also. Just as way of evaluation tonight, all right, we're not going to ask for raised hands. Are any of us organized in meeting the needs of this community. That is exactly what he was training the disciples to do. This was part of the ministry of Jesus. It wasn't just giving them something to eat. He was developing a spiritual principle in their life that this is part of what our work needs to be done every week. We should be meeting the needs around us. And if we're not, if we just disappeared, it wouldn't make a difference to anybody. Are we, as a church, organized to meet needs in our community? And obviously we are. There's many ways that we are organized to meet needs, but there's always room for improvement. We don't have to over-organize this. There's things that we can do. Recently, we gave a huge amount of money to an organization within the high school that hands out practical needs. It was the St. Clair High School Closet. What a great opportunity with just some resources to impact tons of people. Listen, if we wouldn't have done that, they wouldn't have the resources that they've got right now. It was just a practical way to meet needs. We didn't over-organize it. I didn't go in there and try and reorganize everything they're doing. I just simply allowed the church, us, to come alongside of that with some financial gift from BBS, some clothes and things, and told them, you hand it out the way you see fit. That's exactly what took place in this feeding of the 5,000. Jesus could have handed it out himself, but instead, he utilized the gifts of the people that were around him. He organized the work and then allowed them with their gifts to work through the miracle of him. The task of meeting needs has to be organized. Last point. The task of meeting needs, number one, happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. There may be times this week it's going to be really easy for you to meet someone else's needs. There may be times where it's really a headache. Meeting needs happens in both convenient and non-convenient times. We have to be willing to meet needs. God will put them in front of us. The scarcity of food forced them into a position to recognize that the situation was impossible, knowing full good and well that he already had the situation taken care of. Number three, the task of meeting needs has to be organized. You need to find a way with the gifts that you have, whatever those are, in an organized way to meet the needs of the people that you're around every day. Number four, there is a surplus of food. Okay, other part of the familiar passage here, let's look at it though. Verse 16, then he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. The end of the miracle. A surplus of food. There's a couple things that this miracle reinforces, then we're going to have our last point for this evening, and we'll have our message for tonight. The surplus of food. The miracle reinforces that more is possible if God is in it. When he forced those men to look around and realize that the situation was impossible, the miracle that was to follow would reinforce in these 12 that more is possible when God is in it. Whenever you think the situation is so dire, one might not survive, just remember that God has already got it handled, and it's going to be far better than what you could have thought with your own resources. The miracle reinforced that there was more possible if God is in it. The miracle also reinforced that little is enough if God is in it. Little is enough. Some might look around and say, we've only got a few fish and a few pieces of bread. And to the rest of the people in the crowd, it looked impossible. But the miracle reinforced with the 12 apostles that little is enough if God is in it. It just took a little bit, and Jesus blessed it, and the scripture says it was passed out to these multitudes. The miracle also reinforced to the apostles that the impossible situation have solutions if God is in it. So here's the point for tonight on this last point, and then we'll get to my challenge statement for this week. The surplus of food. We will never recognize the miracles of God in our lives if we are always living within what our resources can provide. This is the day that the boy grew up. You know, we focus on the disciples here, their organization, the passing out of food, the leftovers, but there was a boy that day that brought a sack lunch. This is the day that boy grew up. He went from watching a situation that looked nearly impossible to watching God provide in a way that he will never forget. It's the day the boy grew up. Spiritually, in you and I's life, there are moments like this day in our lives where we grow up, where God shows up, he does something huge, he goes around what we think with our own resources, he takes care of the need, and then we grow up a little bit. I don't know how old this boy is. The scripture doesn't say. It just says he was young in one of the other gospels. But on this day, he grew up. He realized that with God, all things are possible. What a lesson to learn at age 12. Imagine if he would have waited to learn it till 50. I mean, literally, this young man spiritually grew up a lot on this day just simply watching what God did through what was a little and impossible and what God provided. So here is the challenge statement for the week. This morning we looked at, are you living a life that represents someone that's sent by Jesus? Tonight, are you living a life that is burdened and compassionate for the public and provides for them? There are four ministries of Jesus in Luke chapter 9. I believe they are a practical living checklist for you and I spiritually. Are we sent and are we sending? Are we sent? Am I living a life that's sent by Jesus? Am I actively involved in the process of training others to be sent also? Number two, am I meeting needs? Am I feeding others, so to speak, not literally with a sack lunch? Am I meeting needs, and am I training others to meet needs? That's what's going on here. It's not just a miracle to feed the crowd. It is a training exercise for these 12. It is part of the ministry of Jesus. It's repeated more than just this time. He's trying to get these guys to understand that meeting needs is a part of living the Christian life. And it may not be a crowd, it may not be a sack lunch this week, but you and I have a responsibility to be both compassionate and generous to meet the needs in our community. It's part of the work as a Christian. It's part of what we do. It's what God has empowered us and given us authority to do. Are we living a life that is burdened and compassionate for the public, and are we providing anything for them? Let's pray. Lord, thank you today for this opportunity to look at this very familiar passage. There are principles in your scripture that always amaze me, God, but the miracles are always something that have fascinated me. I'm intrigued by them. I desire to see modern day miracles, and honestly, God, you do them all the time. I just very rarely recognize what's going on. You've got all things in order. I pray, God, that out of the what little resources that I actually physically have, that you would multiply them this week. Help me not to focus on what I have, but what you can do with them, and help me to be generous this week to the people that I come into contact with. Help me to be a good tipper if I sit down at a restaurant. Help me to be generous to those people that help me. But more importantly, God, help me to be generous and compassionate to the multitudes. Help me to meet needs this week. Put me in a position this week, God, where you can use me to meet a need. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an invitation. You can stay where you're at if you'd want. Are you living a life that is burdened and compassionate for the public? And are you doing anything to provide for the needs of the people that you come into contact with? Let's have a time of invitation. You can use